All recordings have been started.
Thank you very much, Tanya. Good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the SCI call on the 1st of June. And on the call, we have Carlos Aguirre, James Bladel, Jonathan Robinson, Wolf Ulrich Knoben, Philip Shepherd, Avery Doria, and Mary Wong. And for staff, we have Julie Headland, Marika Koenig, and myself, Glenda Saint-Jerry. Thank you very much, and over to you, Wolf Ulrich.
Thank you very much, Glenn, and good evening, good afternoon to everybody of this standing committee. We have our first regular meeting today, and I would like to welcome all of the participants. I have sent out with the agenda a small introduction, which is a link to the existing working group, the working group guidelines, which outlines okay, and that's so new groups should have a kind of team building purpose process, which I think when I look to the member list would be not necessary tonight, if just unless somebody would like to do something. That means that everybody should introduce themselves. I think everybody knows the others from several working teams from several occasions, so that we can just make this hint to the working group guidelines, and then start with our work. And the working group guidelines also make reference to the statement of interest, which should be provided to each working group. And this afternoon I have received from Julie a kind of, that there was a, what I understood is a kind of new form of coming up with the statement of interest. And maybe Julie at first could just explain us a little bit what is behind that. And she was asking us, our group, well, to use this process as a first test group to see whether this process is running or not. And Julie, could you tell us something about that?
Yes, thanks, Wolf Ulrich. This is Julie Headland. So as I noted in the email I sent around to the group, in the new procedures for statements of interest, Chapter 5 of the GNSO Council Operating Procedures, there is a section 5.3.2, electronic form and publication, that states that to ensure consistency, ICANN staff shall develop, maintain, and provide to relevant parties an electronic statement of interest form, including procedures and instructions pertaining to its completion online. So we thought that to help facilitate a discussion of this online process, this requirement for an online process to collect statements of interest, that staff would develop a draft online form and procedures, and the form has actually the various slots, questions, and that are actually in Chapter 5, Statements of Interest, in the latest approved version. And what we thought would be extremely helpful is if this group, the Improvement Implementation Group, could help us to test this draft template online form and see if you have any questions, see how it works. We've done a little testing ourselves as staff, but I think it's much more useful to have folks out in the community using it and see what kind of questions come up. There are several new useful features in this a new solution for collecting statements of interest. In addition to the online form, which is a requirement of the procedures, There's a wiki page where all of the statements of interest will be gathered, and so they can be easily searched in that one place. And when when someone from the community in a work group or work team or whatever enters a statement of interest, then that person can decide and select an option to restrict editing rights to the SOI. And then, of course, any of the work parties and work groups can go ahead and link to the SOI page where all the SOIs will be. So what we thought, if this group agrees, is we'll go ahead and send out, for those of you who don't have wiki access, go ahead and send out a login ID and password to each of you, and then you can go to the link that we've given in the email, and there's a 10-minute tutorial, a video tutorial on how to use the online tool, and then we would ask you to go ahead and use the process to enter in your statement of interest for this group and let us know how it works so that we can make some improvements.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Julie, for the explanation. Before we go to the questions to the participants, so I understand so that everybody of us, from the members, so is familiar with this statement of interest. So we have discussed it with regards to the rules of procedures, and everybody has already provided a statement of interest, and I understand that is a tool to be provided right now, and there may be some questions around that, and I would like to open the floor for that. Avri, please.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's a great idea. I think us having to go through any procedures that are being imposed to truly understand them is a great idea. I tried it, and I get a page not found, so perhaps I'm doing something wrong or something, but anyhow, but I think it's a great idea. Thanks.
And Ulrich, this is Julie. Avri, thank you. I am so glad that you did try, and I apologize you got page not found. It actually answers, I think, a question that Glenn and I and Marika were discussing before this meeting. We have the new Confluence Wiki process, and it wasn't entirely clear to us whether or not this group would have specific logins for that wiki page. I know that you have, a login for, another page that you use with the NCSG, but I think we have to give specific logins to this page. So we'll solve that issue and make sure that it works for everyone. So I think that what that means is that you'll be seeing that everyone will get individually a login, an ID and a login, and then you shouldn't get the page not found.
Okay, thank you. Has anybody any further question for explanation or with regards to his opinion about those online SOIs? I understand Avi is full of support, so I didn't try it, but I'm open to do that as well. So if there is no further question, then my question would be, Avi, is it you? You would like to ask something?
Yeah, I'd like to ask a follow-up question.
Yes.
Which is, why would we need a separate username and separate password from the other account we're using? I don't quite understand that, but...
This is Marika. As I just put in the chat, I think it might be a case that you as a user need to be added as the authorized users for that specific page, which might not require a new login and a password. We just need to verify that, but I'm actually assuming that might be the case. If you're already a user that has a login, it probably just requires adding you as one of the authorized users to that specific space, but we'll check and let you know.
Okay,
yeah,
thanks.
Sorry about that. I think you're right, Marika. I think it's just a matter of saying, hey, these people who are already out there need access to this page, so then hopefully we won't run into that problem. But we'll find out about that right away.
Okay, I see Ron and Ray also joined the call. Welcome to the call here. And we were just talking about to use the new online statement of interest procedure. That was where the questions were about. And I understand, well, it's helpful to do so. And if there are no further questions and nobody opposed to that, so I would say, okay, we should try. We as a group, we as group members, we should test it. So I also was on this page in the afternoon. I got it, the page. There was a page asking for a username and a password. And so I think it could work. So if nobody is opposed, so I would say, okay, we are going as members, we are going to use that, and we'll try it. Do we have what is your time expectation, Julie, for that test?
Well, certainly we'll very quickly get the issue of the access to the page settled, and then I think we probably would like to give people at least a week. I mean, I'd like to get a sense from the group here how much time they think we might need. I know people are busy leading up to to Singapore, possibly even 2 weeks. Wolf Ulrich or others, do you have a sense of how much time you'd like to have?
A couple of days,
1 week or so, yeah.
Well, then why don't we say a week, and we'll check back and see what kind of responses. But, of course, as soon as anybody gets
okay.
to use it, you know, any feedback and, you know, immediate feedback is quite useful.
Juan is asking how long does it take, 5 minutes, half an hour, or what?
I think it's
10 minutes.
It depends on how much information. This is Julie, sorry. It depends on how much information, but Marika is noting 10 minutes for the tutorial and then just how long it takes you to fill out the field.
Okay, good. I think there's agreement that we should do that, and we'll do that. Thank you. So let's go back to the agenda, to my proposal of the agenda. So on the agenda we have selection of chair and vice chair, we have the review of charter, working group guidelines, and the working plan, and the discussion of timetable. Is there anything else you would like to talk about today? I see none. I think everybody should be aware of what this standing committee is about, because since it was implemented by the council, by the GNSO council, and the charter was accepted there, and I think we will come to the charter later on the topic item number 3, and there could be questions raised whether we have the same understanding of what the goals of this committee are and what are the tasks of that. Let's go then to the item number 2, selection of chair and the vice chair. I sentence which says the newly elected chair will act on a provisional basis until the chartering organization has confirmed the appointment. This is laid down in the working group guidelines. So it means formally the council has sent to confirm the appointment. So, how do we select the chair and the vice chair? There is no procedure for that. Can we do that? Let me say that. Okay, Afi, something.
Thank you. I have a question that relates to the charter and it relates to the chair. Does this group, first of all, have somebody in the liaison role? that, you know, if we're sort of following the working group guidelines, there's not only a chair role, there's a liaison role. And I think we need one. I know that at the moment, I guess, a couple of you are council members, but that's different than being a liaison role that's bringing the stuff back and forth. And if we do have one of those, then it needs to be somebody different than the chair is an assumption I'd have. In terms of how we pick the chair, if we end up with more than one candidate, then we probably need to vote on it. But other than that, we can use a doodle poll for that if we need to. But really, my first question is, do we have a liaison? If so, who is that liaison? And my feeling that, obviously, I think it's an obvious feeling of mine, that a liaison shouldn't be the same as the chair. And if we do have a liaison, I think a chair who is perhaps not a council member might be worth considering. So those are my thoughts. Thanks.
Just from my understanding, Avery, liaison, you mean liaison to the GNSO or liaison to any other?
No, to the council. The council liaison.
A council liaison, yeah, okay.
The one that speaks for the group in the council and the one that speaks for the council in the group.
Okay. So far, when you look to the members list so far we have only members from the different stakeholder groups from the NDAs, is Carlos, and the different stakeholder groups and constituencies. There is no one from the IPC, not yet, announced. So that's what we have at the time being. So we should talk about the question, the liaison questions, not only to the council, but also with regards to the members of other advisory committees, for example, the ALAC, and maybe others. So whether we should approach them, the others, in order to announce, to nominate a liaison or member to this group. What was said definitely with regards to the council liaison? Okay, let's talk about. So I see Ron and then James. Oh, so sorry, was Avi the first one or are you still from the last time? So I see Ron and then James. Ron, please.
Good afternoon, Ulrich and all. I'm not sure. We can read the charter for this group, and we can imply all kinds of different things that we could do. But I think what we should be trying to do, if this is going to be a standing committee, is create kind of a nimble and clean operation. In so much as when we start talking about liaisons to the GNSO and adding more realms of activity, I'm not sure why our chair is just not that liaison. So I'm just trying to understand the point Avi's trying to draw out, but from my point of view, this body should be a very, we're not a judiciary, we're not a heavy thing, we're not, you know, all we do is manage a certain activity, and so therefore I would think our chair should be the one that is the liaison, whether it's the ALAC, whether it's the GAC, or whether it's the GNSO, or whoever it may be. If something has to be said by the group, it should come from the chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. James, please.
Hi, thank you, Wolf. James speaking. So just an observation, since there are, for lack of a better description, two categories of membership here. There are primary members and alternate members. As a matter of for practicality, I would recommend that only primary members be considered for chair and vice chair, and I realize that takes me out of eligibility for either, and that's fine. And I would also point out that for those folks who are primary for one group and alternate for another group, that if they were to participate as chair or vice chair, that they would participate in the capacity of whichever group they were primary for. So that's just a matter for practicality. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I saw Avi disagreeing, but anyway, Mary is the next.
Oh, thanks, Wolf. Was Ron's hand raised before mine? I'm happy to let him go first.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I apologize, Mary.
Oh, that's okay. Thanks, Ron. So I had a couple of questions, and I think this is probably because I'm not as familiar with the working group guidelines as I probably should be by now. But it occurs to me that I think, I think it's a great idea that we follow the working group guidelines that were adopted by the council. To some extent, the work of the SCI is a little different in the sense of, supervising or reviewing implementations and recommendations. So I'm wondering if we want to put our thoughts to two things. One is whether there's a term for the chair, or does that run continuously until such time? And secondly, to the extent that we have a chair and a vice chair for that matter, what happens when we're reviewing something for which that chair or vice chair was, say, the chair of the working group we're reviewing?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so your question was, okay, if there is a conflict of interest, if I understand that correctly, which could arise for a certain vice chair or chair having two hats or so. Philip, next question, please.
Yes, thank you. I think just agreeing with what Mary was saying in terms of following working group guidelines, I think again, indeed, this group is a little bit different to the structure for which those guidelines are written. So I think we just need to be pragmatic as we go through those, use what is useful for us, and realize there may be some stuff which is overly complex for our needs. And I guess also on the question of conflict of interest, I mean, that's fairly straightforward to manage. I mean, that's typically whoever has a conflict recuses themselves during the conversation there, and that's typically why you have vice chairs, etc., if the chair has a conflict. So I hope that will be the way that we would proceed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, so we have a so we have certain alternatives. The question is for me right now. So how to proceed? Shall we? I could ask for some okay volunteers, well, volunteering for the chair and the vice chair. The question is, then we can discuss about which kind of position they have coming from which part of this team, and then come to consensus or so. But I see Avri.
Yeah, thanks. I wanted to get back, as before we went that step, to the idea that secondaries not be chair or vice chair. I actually think secondaries, if they're willing to put in the time, are excellent as chair and vice chair material, because most of the time they would be able to act purely in the neutral position that a chair requires without needing to also be keeping track of their primary hat, whereas anyone else who's a primary is always going to have the prime position, unless they permanently pass it off to the secondary. So I don't think that secondaries should be excluded. I think they're appointed to the group by their SGs or constituencies, and they should be considered.
Okay, so Ron, as an alternate, please.
Actually, thank you, Wolf. I want to preface this by saying my hat is not in the ring, but I think we've got a small pool of candidates, and therefore what Avery just said is exactly right. The fact that as an alternate might well be very neutral, more neutral than the leader, but that's neither here nor there. I think it's a small pool, and I don't know why we would procedurally just say one or the other. I don't know what the working group comment said, but it doesn't seem to make sense for me. It's a small group. Thanks.
Okay. So, then let's take this into consideration, and then I think the floor is open for volunteers or for somebody who would like to nominate somebody else for the chair and the vice chair position. I would say the best way for if there is nothing opposed to that, so it would be, well, if we would have two volunteers, one for the chair and the vice chair, and we could come to consensus, at least two. Let me say at least two. That means, and we could come to consensus for these positions both together. If anybody is not agreeing to that, that means that we should select at first a chair and then a vice chair. Then I'm open also for that. So okay, let's go. So who is going to volunteer? Primaries as well as alternates for chair and for vice chair. Or who is Ron?
Thank you, Wolf. My thinking is if you would be open to continuing as chair, that would be, from my point of view, something I would be happy with. And I was going to recommend, I haven't checked with Philip, but Philip has a lot of experience as well as a vice chair. Does that make sense for you? Would you consider that?
I thank you. And are we first?
I would be concerned about having people from the same stakeholder group. Thanks.
Okay, so I understood Ron's question well, towards myself, and he was suggesting Philip as vice chair, so Arvi is not happy with that, but that both come from the same stakeholder groups. Mary, please.
Thanks, Wolf. I share Arvi's concerns, although obviously these are not comments about the persons themselves, just the representation. I would like, if I may, to nominate Avery for chair or vice chair, and keeping in mind that we want to keep a balanced representation across as many groups as possible.
Mm-hmm. Now, Avery?
I'd be willing, but I'd also like to throw James's name into the considerations for either chair or vice chair.
Okay, so we have Avi James. So Ron was also coming up with my name. So I would agree to that. Also accept one of these roles. Somebody else. So we have three names. I would ask. Okay. If one after the other, to which position they are looking, or are they open? Avi, would you be open for both positions? Yes, as well. And James, you?
I'm sorry, folks. Until the affirmation of commitments review team winds down, I will not be able to take on any other. I do appreciate the nomination, but I just won't be able to take that on.
Okay, good. So I understand that we are still two. And Ron, please.
I was just going to suggest that we, because there's no recommend. How should I put it? You could be chair or vice chair, and I'd suggest the slate. I would break that slate in two, meaning that Philip could also be a chair as well as a vice chair, and Wolf, I would select you as chair or vice chair as well.
So what you're suggesting is Philip as well for this.
I'm saying my comment would be that I had suggested a slate of you as chair and Philip as vice chair, and I'm recommending that I could reverse that as well, that Philip could be chair and you as vice chair, or any combination of Philip as chair or you as chair, or Philip as chair, vice chair and you as vice chair. So I'm saying I want to keep both of you in the race in some form. Thank you.
Okay, so then, okay, Philip, I would like to ask you, what's your opinion, please?
Just as I would accept either. I'd be very happy to serve.
So you would be prepared for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about this. So we have three candidates. So it's Ari, it's Philip and myself for either position of that. Could we discuss a little further on? Because there were arguments, so which we should take into consideration, coming from Ari and from Mary. That means since we are a group of GNSO stakeholders, so chair and vice chair should not come from the same stakeholder group, and I wonder whether this is a principle in the working group guidelines as well. I'm not sure about that. Or is that, does anybody know that, Marika or Julie?
I don't think so.
But I'm not sure about that. So, but,
yeah.
Okay.
Wolf Ulrich.
Yes.
I don't take my hand up. I don't think it's a guideline. It's a personal preference. It's something I suggested. I do not believe, and in any case, the guidelines are just guidelines. I'm really indicating a preference, and I'm not trying to state that the guidelines say they shouldn't be. I don't remember if we actually discussed it.
Yeah, okay, but it's an opinion, or we should really discuss that. So I'm open for that. Juan, please.
You know, it had been brought up that perhaps we should, you know, have principals or alternate speaking, but I defer to the fact that we really are a small number of people, and our job, if we go back to the charter and the activities that we're supposed to undertake, I don't think it's going to be a political one per se. I think our job is about implementation. Is this being implemented the way it should be implemented? So this is an administrative role, and this is not a role, in my view, that is the same as being the chair of the GNSO. You know, there are two different activities. This is an implementation right in the name. So my thought on this is that we might want just to put it out for election for a week, have all of the people participating in the SCI come in with their vote, and then we'll take it from there. We can debate different things as we go along. But at the end of the day, I think we've got a qualified group of people, and I think our job is implementation, and I think we need good implementers to, steer the ship. So whether they're from the same SG, not from the same SG, same, constituency, should be really irrelevant. Really, let's just pick the best horses for the courses and step forward. That's my view. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ron. So I would join this opinion. So I'm saying also let's continue right now with the meeting. And since there was for me also an open question, what is really in the work group guidelines? We have to check it first, so that we can follow that. So this is one. I would say with regards to chairs and vice chair and the question of balancing, we should follow what is in the working group guidelines. And then we can follow what you were saying. That means that we come up with we have three candidates: Ari, Philip, and myself. And we will come out and send out this for voting to all the members of SCI, and then we'll see what is going to happen. And so far, if I understand, I would be the interim. Continue as the interim chair of this group, and then we could continue. Ron, are you still on for questioning?
I beg your pardon. I'm just learning the system. I beg your pardon. I'm down.
Okay. So are we also agreeing, and James was also agreeing to that, Ray as well. So then our non-partisan Philip also is agreeing to that. Good. So then let's go to the next item. The next item is review of the charter and working group guidelines, maybe, and any other documents. I have sent out a list with the documents I was saying as relevant for this group. The charter as well. And I would like just for those who are not that familiar with the charter and with the goals of this group, briefly come back to the main tasks laid down in the charter. This is the very first paragraph, in the general paragraph, which says the standing committee will be responsible for reviewing and assessing the effective functioning of recommendations provided by the OSC, the PPSC, and the policy development process working team, and approved by the council, by the GNSO council. And in two ways, they'll be responsible for reviewing that. The first is on request. That means for those recommendations that have been identified to present immediate problems, for example, with regards to rules of procedures, we had something in the past with regards to statement of interest or to the voting and proxy and these things. And on the second way, on a periodic time scale for all recommendations in order to identify possible issues and or improvements, subject to a clear definition by the SCI on which recommendation should be reviewed. So this is what I understand, what was understood, the main targets and the main tasks of this group. I should recall that we still have the OSC and we have the PDP working team working. So the OSC is still handling some items with regards to proxy voting and maybe others as well. And the PDP working team is still finishing the work with the for the PD policy development process, a new one. So that means our work is going to be in parallel for a certain time with those teams. So the question is, first question is for me, okay, is that clear to everybody, or does anybody has additional questions with regards to the work to be done? So just summarizing, that means this group has a reactive part, let me say that in that way, for the first part of this task, and the other one could be an active if there is something to be done, if there is a work program which we come up with, and that would be our active part. The other one would be a reactive part, just waiting for problems, let me say, and then reacting and picking up those problems and streamlining. Let me add another thing. So when I prepared that meeting, so I was aware that on board level we have also a structural committee, the board structural committee, which is supervising all the organizational and improvements aspects of ICANN, let me say, in that respect. And the GNSO improvement part is also one thing they are supervising, or they are, let me say, supervising in a way. I don't know in which way, but it's on the agenda. So I was thinking about whether we should establish a link to this group, to this structural committee as well, in order to tell them, okay, here we are. We are also we are from the GNSO, this group, which is focusing on the improvement and on the effectivity of the improvements already implemented. And if you have additional questions to that, so please raise those questions and come up with that. Okay, just an idea. Go on, please.
Thank you, Will. With regard to your last part of your comment about, if I understood what you said correctly, it's about having a liaison to the board governance group on improvements. And I support that idea. I think that would be a very good idea. And again, the chair should be that liaison, the chair and vice chair. I really think the two should be connected when we talk about liaisons to GAC or ALAC or GNSO or to this particular body you've just spoken about. So both parties are privy to what's going on, and we can carry on smooth operations in that regard. And that, but bringing that, that brings me back to the actual activity that we undertake. I can, when I review the charter, I see a lot of words, but I wonder, where are the trigger points in your mind as the acting chair? What are trigger points when we actually engage, or perhaps some staff can give us some sense of the trigger points in real clear terms? So when do we engage and when do we step back? Is there any kind of thinking or guidelines on that? Thank you.
Well, if I can start, there is, for me, it's a question because the charter is saying, okay, we should review the effective, how is it that, the effective handling or and assessing the effective functioning of the recommendations. So then the question would be, what does it mean, effective functioning? So, the first part is just react. So we could lean back and waiting. Okay, if somebody is crying, okay, something is crazy, you know, to handle. So with regards to the rules of procedures or with regards to later on with the development process or what else. So, okay, they would like to refer to us. So that's one part. If we go to the second part, I would say we have to do something. Before we come up with a list of what we should do, we have to understand what is what is the purpose of that. So that means, what does it mean, effective functioning of recommendations? Does it just mean, okay, if nobody is crying, then it's effective? Or does it mean, okay, we should go into the mechanisms of the implementation of recommendations and look at this, is this effective with regards to the overall work of the GNSO, or does it mean, could we save time, for example, if we modify, amend something, although it's just an idea. So the question is, for me, the key is, what is effective functioning? That's what I would like to discuss and what I would like to have an opinion on that. If there are ideas, so could be just an idea for today. I didn't prepare more in detail that, but it's an open question for me.
Well, Wolf, this is Ron. If I might just respond to what you said.
Yes.
I think the thought of finding that trigger point, defining that trigger point, should be something we should try to get to more quickly. Obviously, it's going to be it's going to be broad in so much we can't narrow it down to really defined terms, but at least we can consider what that concept looks like. I don't feel that we should be starting to go in and look at systems. You know, I think it's more the former. You said if people are making a lot of noise, we should be talking about it. If they're not making a lot of noise, we shouldn't be. I'm more of that school of thought. But I think that that's something that the charter is decidedly vague, and I think that this group initially is going to, we should certainly set that kind of framework up, at least how do we think about it. Maybe a face-to-face meeting in Singapore might give us some, be a good place for us to start to address that we at least we can all sort of understand, who are we and what do we do in this role. And Singapore might be that opportunity. Thank you.
Okay. So I saw on the chat, I saw Philip saying trigger point is for the first PDP under new rules, for example. At the time being, so the PDP is not yet an item for us, I would say, because it's not yet implemented. So what we should talk about is recommendations which have been implemented. And if you go to the list which was sent out, the document list, there is shown the list of documents already. That is, for example, we have the recommendation to develop a global outreach program, which is implemented or under implementation. We have the communications coordination recommendations from the OSCE under implementation, the toolkit services under implementation, and the working group guidelines in the broadest sense. There are some parts still under consideration. So that's it, what we have at the time being. During the working group guidelines, they are implemented. Yes, and but the operating procedures, I would say, these are in parts implemented as well. So that these are the recommendations we should look at first. So that's my understanding, and then step by step, so we could pick up the others when they come to implementation. Are we, please?
Yeah, thank you. I guess I'm not quite sure the degree to which we're being proactive on this. And I didn't think we would necessarily, that this committee would necessarily be that proactive. I mean, that, yes, some of the things that have been implemented and have had a year or two, then there was the whole notion of doing the review. But that otherwise, I thought that some problem had to be brought before, and that we weren't just looking for issues. So I guess I'm having a little curiosity about to what degree we're deciding to be proactive and decide that, okay, this one has been approved, therefore we need to look into it. I guess I don't understand. Thanks.
Yeah, this is Ray. I haven't raised my hand, but if I can speak.
Yes.
I agree with Aubrey. I think that was very well said. I think importantly for us is to maintain our legitimacy as we move along and progress, and the ability to have methods of communication to this group, I think, is significant to that end. Ways to be contacted over what the issue might be, and then the ability to move quickly and begin to address whatever the issue is, which is more of a reactive mode than being necessarily going out and looking for problems or looking to be proactive to get involved, but instead maintain our legitimacy by being the sounding board of the place that folks can come to when they feel there is an issue. And then how do we, the secondary question then that pops into my mind is, what is the way for them to articulate what the issue is? Is it an online form? Is it a series of questions? I would think, though, a standardized way of informing this group of what the issue is might be something for us to look at as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Marika, please. Marika? Oh, Marika, are you on,
yes?
On mute? Or?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I think I was on mute. So this is Marika. So on the more proactive notion that we're talking about, I mean, the charter does talk about periodic review of recommendations, and then actually what it does talk about is that the SCI is expected to actually develop a review plan, and indicating when items should be reviewed, a proposed timeline, and as well indicating if any resources might be needed, I guess, you know, like a working group, for example, or additional maybe staff support. So instead of indeed saying, well, we need to review all these items that are in the other document, the SCI might want to focus on indeed what time frame would be appropriate for considering a periodic review of those items. So that might be something as a it's not an immediate, but it would be a more proactive approach towards reviewing some of those items.
Okay, thank you. And Philip?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all that. And maybe some things that are suitable to a timed, i.e., a periodic review. And other things I think could be more ad hoc. I mean, I would see us probably as a regular meeting each time a working group finishes, or a PDP led by somebody, whatever finishes, having a conversation with the people who were leading that process and finding out what they thought was good in the process, what wasn't. And so just a bit of sort of ad hoc learning as things go on. So you flag up a few things which you can, you know, we may just file away. Oh, that was interesting, they had problems with that. And then we do it next time and we find they have the same problems. And then you start thinking, is this something that's more systemic rather than individual to that particular group? And I would see us working a little bit more like that as well as things go on. So different types of triggers.
Okay. That's a very good suggestion, I would say, as well, that we could refer to those groups that are just coming to an end of their work, or which have, let me, some experience with their processes and works, and we could discuss that and then ask them, okay, what could be it could be improved. So, okay, there are my ideas. Thank you. To my mind came also, so if we go that way, so, you know, for periodically reviewing recommendations, that would at first, I think, we must have a status about that. So we have a status right now on the list, a general one, which means, okay, it's under implementation or it's implemented. But implemented means if you look to the different recommendations, for example, outreach program or toolkit or working group guidelines, so it's a lot of different recommendations in it. So so it is, I think we need more transparency about that. What does it mean? What is the status of the actual status of the implementation of that, in order really to come up, or, and what is the timeline of that to be implemented, in order to come up with our own review process or timeline with regards to those different recommendations. In this respect, I would like to refer to staff and ask them, Marika or Julie, how do you see that? So is that possible that we get a rather detailed status of the different implementation processes? Marika?
This is Marika. You're talking about the implementation of the different recommendations?
Yes, you know, I refer to the documents list, you know, we have. So
okay.
And we have different implementation status, let me say. So because each recommendation or each output of a working group output has a set of recommendations. For example, the communication coordination recommendations.
Right. And I think that maybe Julie can help out with that, because I think most of the items that are in implementation are from the OSC. So I don't know if Julie and Rob might be able to help there and provide a more detailed overview.
Yes.
Sure.
For example, let me just come to an example for the communication coordination recommendation. So we have just came up with a new wiki, I think. So so this is that is more or less implemented right now, and but there are other recommendations in the set of recommendations for communications. And so what we just would like to see, let me say, there is a list of the different recommendations, and saying, okay, it's not yet implemented, it's implemented, it's planned for this and that, so that we can just go through and see what's happening there. Julie, please.
Yes, thanks, Wolf Ulrich. So as I understand you, then I'm happy to do this, take this on, is to go through each of these items as we look at the document names here, and to indicate where we stand on implementation and any items that may not have been addressed thus far. So where are we, you know, status of implementation on each of them, complete or not, or where, and then those items that perhaps haven't been addressed, and so we can determine a plan for addressing them. Is that along the lines of what you were thinking?
Yes, that would be very helpful, I think so.
All right.
then this could be a basis also for our timeline.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. This is Julie. That would be, in some cases, that will be quite straightforward to do for many of these. And now work with Rob Hogarth on the toolkit services because he's been keeping a close eye on that. The only item then that I'd get some input from Marika on is the new policy development process, and just there's a little bit of an update there that we can add.
Okay. Thank you. So, okay, thank you very much, Warren.
Wolf Ulrich, I was a little concerned about what that request is just now, because Philip was going down the avenue of we'll just sort of keep an eye on things as they progress, just more or less at a distance, meaning, in my view, that our chair or vice chair will be kind of checking in with the chair of that working group to see if there are any issues or problems, as opposed to taking a deep dive into this, which was what I heard, and I may be wrong, but what I heard you say was you wanted to have detailed information on all of the different things that are happening right now. Some of those things might be going along very smoothly. I think that it's at the point, but that, and I come back to my question about the trigger, at what point do we engage? If we follow the Phillips suggested methodology of just keeping a light touch and kind of watching how things are going, and then when we reconvene, let's say 30 days later, and we look at it again, it's either gotten better or it's gotten worse. And if it's getting worse, at that point we would start asking for detailed information. I'm a little concerned that we're going to start now delving into, you know, putting heavy burden on staff and also the committee, in so much as that's a lot of reading you're going to be giving us on top of all of the other working groups and so forth we do. So I just wanted to have a clarification of that. I'm a little concerned about deep diving. Light touch is my view. Thank you.
Okay. Maybe let me just briefly explain. So I wouldn't be so... deeply dive in those details. The only thing I was saying was we have different basic documents to look at if we also go the proactive way, which we are discussing as well, not only the reactive way. So that means that we have these different documents, which we could say, okay, they are in parts or also in total implemented. I don't know. I don't have this overview very very clear to me. And in this respect, for example, if somebody comes up with regards to documents or recommendations which are fully implemented, then we should pick it up. But we need this transparency. I wouldn't go then that way, you know, to dive in and to pick up any or every recommendation by itself and dive in and turn it around and look what could be improved. It should come from the practicability and from the experience with which other people have. So I fully agree to that. So for me it was only the question, so is this list of documents which we have and the status, which is saying, okay, partly under implementation or it's still in implementation, is that enough for our purposes or not? That was my question. So, Philip?
I think my answer to that is simply yes. I think our work plan looks good. I think what the ideas we talked about on the call so far look good. I, like Mary, also have to leave the call momentarily. And just perhaps to comment on timetable and five, delivery work plan and meeting schedule. I'd have thought that should really be the job of the new chair and vice chairs to work together, come up with proposals and come back to the group on that. That would seem to be a natural task for those two people once we select them.
Yes, I see. So we have our deadline was 9 o'clock here in Europe. So We can leave that part as well, and I would come up with some proposal for that. What we have with regards to our the timetable is that the chair has to provide some information to the council in Singapore to give a brief status report of this group, and we can exchange some views on the list, and I could put that together for the council as well. We have on the timetable, we have on the schedule one meeting scheduled in Singapore. If that meets your timetable as well, and this is scheduled, I think, on it is Saturday or Sunday, Marika? I think Saturday morning, isn't it?
That's correct.
Saturday morning, 9 o'clock.
Yes, that's correct. From Saturday from 9 to 10.
From 9 to 10. So I would say that that could be very helpful to have this face-to-face meeting as well. And I will put together the ideas you are talking about today and put it on the list. And then we can exchange some views, and maybe we have some more ideas with regard to the triggering, and discuss that further on than in Singapore. So, is there for today? I would say it was an open discussion, and there were some ideas for starting this group. And I would say, okay, if there are no further questions to that, then we would put this this meeting on the schedule for Singapore, and we will stay in contact on the list, and then meet again in Singapore.
Sounds good.
Excellent.
So are there any further questions? Not yet.
Well done, Wolf Ulrich.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Wolf.
And goodbye.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye. I know.
Thanks. Bye.
Tanya?